I have to tell you this morning, I'm quite emotional standing here and looking out and seeing you all here, hearing you all worship. And it almost brings me back to just when the COVID pandemic had come to its end in terms of isolation. And we opened the service upstairs with a scattering of chairs round about the room. Remember the days you had to book in? You had assigned seats. And slowly as the restrictions were lifted, we were able to get a few more people in. And I have to be honest with you, when it came to looking at church and looking at what church was going to be like after a global pandemic that shut everything down, as I've said before, 3 weeks after my role changed to be pastor and thinking, God, what are you going to do here? Because humanly, it seems impossible. We're shut down. We're shut out. And then week by week by week, seeing more people come, seeing more people's lives changed and transformed, running Alpha consistently for all these years that we couldn't get out, we went online, we did all that. And as I stood up here this morning and could hear you sing, my heart's full because of the goodness of God. Because you might be sitting in here this morning and you could never have imagined that in July 2023 you would get up on a Sunday morning and come to church. You might have never imagined coming into this space and encountering and knowing God's presence. And I've been nervous about this move, but knew that at the start of the year when God said we're going to see the increase, we couldn't ignore it. But I'll tell you what, man, my heart's been roasted this week. How many seats will we put out? Are the wires all going to work? Is everything going to come together? And then all my team saying to us, John, they're saying to the pastor, oh, ye of little faith. I'm like, guys, I'm hearing what you're saying, but I've just got this nervous energy, trusting. And I know it's not an easy move coming down here, right? I know it's not, because upstairs is a beautiful space, beautiful environment, comfier chairs. But is that what we're about? This is going to take hard work, but it's going to be worth it for every life that's changed. And even this morning as we come, as we look at the last part of the Lord's Prayer together, and as we start to see what is it that Jesus has been saying to us over these weeks, from this prayer that is known world around. We know people even in this room who can say it in various languages. My pal Ian can say it in French and Polish, beat that. But we've started to unpack, what does it mean to say, Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Give us our everything, God. Forgive us. Forgive us. You might have said that prayer a million times but never meant the words. As we forgive others, there's a challenge. Yeah, we thought about that last week. And as we come to this last section, Jesus knew that every single person who he sat with and told this prayer to, every single person that is in this room today was going to battle with temptation, was going to have a battle with the evil one. And there's a battle going on right now, folks, for your soul. And it's real and it's powerful. And as part of what we're going to look at today, temptation is central in what often leads us to walking away from God or not even thinking about him in the first place. Because there's not one person in this room that could say to me today, I don't face temptation of some sort. A temptation that might seem quite small, but other temptations that are absolutely massive. Every time you open that fridge and you see the biscuits just staring at you, it's tempting, isn't it? But you know it's not going to be good for you. Well, that's with me, then. I'm properly trying to look after my medicine and look after my condition, and boy, it's hard. You might say, oh, that's how it is, but you might be tempted in ways that the person sitting beside you doesn't even know. But God does, and that's why Jesus in this prayer as he's teaching his disciples to pray. And as I said, this is continual, folks. This is just shouldn't be something that's said at church or something we say at special events. But Lord, I want to daily, continually ask you to lead me, not in the ways of temptation, but deliver me from the evil one, because the battle's real and the battle's now. And as we unpack this whole area of temptation today, I hope that you will see that God can break every chain. And as Jesus teaches this such an important lesson on temptation to his disciples, with just a few words, we start to see through the Holy Scripture the reality and the impact and actually the devastation that when we fall into temptation and act on temptation, it can totally destroy us. So before we go any further today, I want you right now to identify what is your greatest temptation. How would you define what temptation is? It's almost that urge or that act that typically comes from associated, it's associated with doing wrong, ultimately, right? And I know those urges, and I know those thoughts, but then I know when it turns into action. So how do you define what temptation is for you? What is it that's your biggest temptation right now, and how does it impact your life? How does it impact others' lives, and how does it impact the relationship that you have with God? Because often we can live in self-destruct mode. You know what that's like, don't you? When you do the things that you shouldn't do. When you live the way that you shouldn't live. And it almost becomes just acceptable. We thought about it when we talked about forgive us our sins. Recognizing what those sins are and dealing with them, right? So we almost got into self-destruct, where we say, well, it's all right, it was just a wee sin, just a wee temptation, just a wee thing. But actually, it can turn into something massive. Because temptation has the power today to take out relationships, take out finances, take out stability, take out control. And it can take out our hearts and our minds. And I believe that's why Jesus, as he said, for the people to pray, was to say, I want to be protected from the temptation that's coming. I want to be delivered from the evil one who literally hates the concept that you're sitting here this morning and will do anything to tempt you away. I remember at school, they always talked about peer pressure. Anybody else get lessons on peer pressure when you were at school? Let's see your hands. That's no peer pressure. Put your hand up, by the way. But it's interesting, right? And I used to think, I can't wait till I'm not a teenager anymore because peer pressure doesn't exist. Rubbish. It exists every single day. And often that pressure is what, that personal pressure that we put on ourselves can often be overpowering, overwhelming, and over-controlling. So how do we live? You might be sitting today and you know when you're tempted to click, when you shouldn't click. You look when you shouldn't look. You spend when you shouldn't spend. You take when you shouldn't take. You touch when you shouldn't touch. You influence when you shouldn't influence. You indulge when you shouldn't indulge.